All right, it's Maloney for you and Mega. We are down here at Fenway Park. We are live from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. We're here before every single Red Sox
bike
home
song?
Game. No, it's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, the official truck of the Red Sox.
No very more interesting bike article. Songs?
No more bike songs.
Sure. No? Well, then we should keep playing, like, you know, Olivia Newton-John songs.
Yeah, let's do
I still
that.
Haven't gotten over that, by
no,
the
let's
way.
Still do that. I need some Olivia or bike songs. Interesting article, Alex Speer. Headline, how the Red Sox approach the deadline, a path that not everyone in their organization understands. He says, he writes, 1 week later, head-scratching persists about how the Red Sox approached the trade deadline, and not just from fans and media. Multiple members of the organizations, from players and uniformed personnel to front office members, used a common word in assessing the team's unwillingness to define itself as either a buyer or a seller. And that one word was confusion, which I think is very interesting. That Alex Speer has people, you know, and I said this yesterday, you know, fans, whatever, ownership, front office, you name it, people are confused. And I think it's more amazing that they're actually talking about it.
Well, because I think they were probably so confused that they're probably wondering if anybody has clarity. Can anyone explain to me what's going on? Because I feel like I've been in the business long enough to kind of get it and understand it. But right now, I don't know. Isn't that the biggest issue? And isn't that the biggest problem?
I think the biggest
problem. My thing is always, like, keep the troops informed. Let them know what's going on. Don't keep things a secret. Every player wants to know what the plan is and what is going on so they can adjust their own life and their own day. To me, if you're saying, like, the big word is what? Confusion?
Confusion.
Okay, that's from players and staff?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and front office personnel. So I look at that's the biggest issue. You know, confusion from front office personnel. Is chaos going down at Foxborough? We don't really know what's going on with their coaching staff, right? And some of the players, they're all on the same page, even though they, you know, whatever. No one's coming out publicly. Like, the Red Sox players had no problem coming out publicly, asking for help, not knowing what's going on, talking about the displeasure of Vasquez being out. Now you got front office personnel. Imagine if anonymous coaches on the Patriots came out and publicly said, I don't know what's going on. So I think it speaks more to Heim Bloom. You got people around him right now wondering what he's doing. People he works with are wondering, questioning what Heim Bloom is doing. That's the big story.
But didn't he have like a whole rally the troops, like, you know, team meeting before
whatever.
Kansas City? Didn't he have that? Wasn't that like an informational?
How'd that get done?
Huh?
What do you think? What do you think?
Well, first of all, any team meetings, they never work. But when the GM or the president.
Together.
That never works either, but I felt like that was kind of, I'm not joking though, Lou, by the way. Like, I felt like that was his way of saying, all right, listen, guys, here's what we're doing. Here's our plan. You know, this is why I kept JD. This is why I kept Xander. And if you're curious of why I let go of Christian Vasquez, because I wanted Hosmer, right? And I let go of Jackie Bradley because I feel like Durant is on his way.
This is the part of Spears' article that jumped out at me. It says, an executive of a National League team that discussed a deal for Martinez in the hours leading up to the deadline said the Sox sought both major leaguers and prospects back for the slugger, being J.D. Martinez. Another said the team was aiming for top-tier prospects for rentals. Quote, it felt like they just wanted to see if someone would get dumb. An executive of one team that discussed Martinez and starting pitchers with the Sox said. So this brings me again to the question of how much of this confusion and confused strategy, I would say, about what this club was going to do this year stems from Heim or whoever is acting on his behalf in the front office going, we're going to win every deal. We're going to go out, win every deal. We're going to get the best players for the cheapest possible. We're going to find the diamonds in the rough. Like, to me, it's like, how much of it is about the club right now, your major league clubhouse, and how much of is it about you having the biggest brain out there? Everybody else is going to be dumb.
Like,
we're going to win the deal.
Like, he wants to be a superhero, and his superpower is like, hey, I'm just smarter than you.
Right. Well, and he gets into the whole, like, Renfro deal and the situation at first base and passing on a few free agents that were out there, the kid Vogelbach from I think it was Pittsburgh. But – and it has this in the end. He says, like, the decisions to stick with this and that, you know, basically the depth of having a guy like Jackie out there every single day and Travis Shaw backing up Bobby Dalbec. He writes, in that decision, some saw a measured approach that raised questions about whether the team was putting sufficient priority on the current season, a notion that was tested in earnest at the trade deadline. I still go back to, you know, if everybody was on the same page, if everybody knew what the plan was and the players don't get it, hang with them. Here's the plan. We don't believe in you. Christian, you've said that before.
Yeah.
That's the plan. We don't believe in you. My concern is, and I see it in this article, is that there are front office personnel who sit in rooms with Chaim Bloom, who talk to Chaim Bloom in conference calls and Zooms, who are probably back here in Boston going through the deadline. They don't know what's going on. People that work with him don't know what's going on, and they're willing, and granted anonymously, to talk to Alex Spear about
it. He walks out of the room, and the other guys who work for him go, what are we doing?
Exactly.
What is this?
What are we doing here?
But aren't these guys that are handpicked by him, aren't these his guys, his soldiers?
Not all of them.
So some are holdovers.
Yeah.
So it's probably the holdovers that are probably sitting there going, what is he doing?
Yep.
So the guys that he brought over, that's why if you get a job like this, you have to get rid of everyone. Because you don't want some guy second-guessing you or questioning you with no history of how you do things in the first place. All the guys that he brought over are going to be like, oh, this is what we knew was going to happen anyway.
Yeah. And then maybe
I'm not going to say anything because he brought me into this.
Yes. Yeah, right.
That's my guy.
Shot.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's coming. But I think my biggest takeaway here is that there's front office personnel that are sitting down, first off, that are willing to maybe have a conversation with an Alex Spear and talk about this. But we worry about, we don't know what's going on. Front office personnel right next to him don't know what's going on. I'm not so sure ownership knows what's going on. I'm not so sure anybody knows what's going on.